Beast OCR proudly presents BeastNet Podcast, sponsored in part by GH Under's Performance Based Layers and supported by the OCR community. Here we discuss all things OCR related. Welcome to BeastNet.
Grays Harbor Unders makes the performance-based layer clothing you want and need, whether you work, hunt, hike, fish, run, or ride in the great outdoors. If you work up a sweat, Grays Harbor Unders are for you because their unique dual-layer fabric removes moisture from your body and keeps your skin dry, even when the outer layer is completely wet. It's a base layer like no other. Get you some at ghunders.com. That's ghunders.com for the best performance-based layer you'll ever wear.
Hey everybody, it's Mike here with BeastNet, and I've got two participants from Iron Thunder with me, Tim and Renee. How are you guys doing?
Good!
I'm doing pretty good. My morning. I'm waking up.
That's right, you have a weird schedule, so.
Yeah, so it's 5 p.m. and I just woke up.
See, if it's 5 p.m. and I just woke up, it means I had way too much fun the night before.
It's 5 p.m. and I finished for the day.
Yeah.
Even all my exercise is done for the day because I start really early. I start at 7 o'clock in the morning.
I've got to finish a few exercises, but.
Oh, yeah, me too.
So let's start off with Renee. Go ahead and tell us a little about yourself for those that don't know you. I've met Renee a long time ago, but go ahead and let the listeners know kind of a little about you and who you are and your background.
All right. My name is Renee Larson. In my private life, I'm a human resources manager. In my play life, I go to obstacle course races and I do endurance events. I've done World Cup of Connor 24-hour. I did the Spartan Ultra 24-hour race just a month ago. I like to do these beast events that are 12 and 6 hours long. It's fun to be outside, do things with your friends. And I've got a couple of trifectas under my belt. I did two this year, one last year. And I got my Holy Grail last year. And for people who don't know what a Holy Grail is, it's not a Spartan thing. It's a tough mudder thing. It's where you do three kind of endurance events. You do tough mudder for time, you do an 8-hour event, and then you do a 24-hour event.
Yikes. That sounds like a lot.
It's fun.
Yeah. Your idea of fun and mine sometimes, I think, very. I mean, I'm crazy on a certain level, but I think your idea of fun goes above mine.
That's why the beast events are fun, because when you do those ones, they're not doing the same course over and over again. You're doing something unique and different each time. So
yeah, which is good. So we know a little bit about Renee now. Let's learn a little bit about Tim. Tim, go ahead, kind of give us a little background on you. And I'll be honest, I don't know if I've ever actually met you.
So I don't think we have met. This is actually my very first Beast event. I lurked on the page for a while, and I've been Spartan racing for about 5 years now. I have one trifecta and like 8 or 9 sprints and like 3 supers under my belt. This is my first real endurance event. It was fun. Anyway, a little bit about me. My name's Tim Garvey. I'm 28. I work up at Toluca Preserve Casino. I'm a slot technician, previously security over there. And I like to get down dirty and muddy and beat myself up.
Yeah, that's good. Then you'll fit right in with the beast. So this is going to be kind of fun because we're going to have two different perspectives. You have Renee, who's done a whole bunch of these, and then this is pretty much your first kind of endurance event. So that'll be fun on this. Renee, your windshield wipers on?
I do. Sorry.
Okay.
That's what that is.
Yeah. Sorry. I can hear in the background, and I'm like, what's that noise?
I'm very close. I'm like.
kind of give us, Tim, as being your first real endurance event, give me kind of an idea of your thoughts. I mean, you haven't done one before, and this is kind of your jump into it. Hey, give me some thoughts on how you feel afterwards.
So when I went into it, I was thinking it would be like a hurricane heat, which, for disclaimer, I have not done yet, but I am training for. And I had heard that they were on the farther end of the Sufferfest kind of endurance event, where they're supposed to be like, you're going to beat yourself up and you're going to hate yourself during, but you're going to love yourself afterwards. This yeah. wasn't this. Wasn't that. This was, it kind of sucks during the warm-up because going from waking up to doing tons of squats and mountain climbers and burpees when you're like on 5 hours of sleep, that's something different. But after the warm-up, it was fun the whole way through. There was a lot of LARPing. So Adam had obviously come back from Iceland thinking about playing Dungeons & Dragons quite a bit. You can tell because he put it very much into his. There was a part where we were sneaking through the marshlands, and he was like, "Everyone be quiet. They're sleeping gnomes. You must not wake them or they will bite you."
That was hilarious.
Now I'm kind of mad that I missed it. That sounds fun.
It was funny, and I was trying not to laugh the whole time.
Wow. Yikes. What were you saying, Renee?
Oh, this one was really different than the other events. I mean, it was tough, and believe me, hauling that shield around all night was heavy. But it was just kind of fun and lighthearted, and wasn't a whole lot of punishment. It was just, we've got things to do, and we're gonna play with the shield. It was just a good old time. And he's right. It was like, I haven't done LARPing, but I've known people who have done LARPing, so we were kind of playing the role. I really liked when we were calling the thunder. What was it? The god thunder, the iron thunder god. That was
calling
so
down
fun.
The iron thunder and then trying to reclaim it.
Yeah.
Like an ancient ritual.
Yeah. Wow. I guess he said it was sort of an ancient ritual. It was a ritual because they had done it at a soccer match. But you stood there on the iron cross, and then when he went bump bump or clap clap, you had to clap your hands over your head, so he just slowly did it faster and faster, and it was fun.
Like a rallying ritual. Almost.
Yeah. And then, but after we did that, it was kind of like, okay, I'm glad you saved it to the end, because you're kind of like, well, we did that, now we're done. It was right at the end, so that was cool.
Yeah.
That's a cool way to end it.
Yeah.
I've heard Adam comes up with some interesting ideas.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it was just, it was a lot of walking around. We didn't really do a whole lot of running. We did some running. It was really fun to learn how to do the shield formation. And then we'd walk and they'd call them out. And then they'd say you have enemy on the left or enemy on the right. And you'd have to tighten up, and they'd come and see if they could tip over your shield and your barricade and see if they could push you over. And if you had something that was hanging out and they could tag you, like if your hand was out or your leg was out and they could tag you, then you would lose a body part and you'd have to do a sacrifice to get the body part back. So
Kelly lost a foot. Kelly lost a foot and we all as a group had to do 10 shield burpees to appease the sage Brian, which was 10 burpees each while keeping this giant 2x4 foot chunk of plywood with 4 bricks taped to it, doing burpees with those still attached to our arms, and that was very challenging.
Yeah, shield burpees were very interesting.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, I was just sort of out of my comfort zone. We actually had to make those shields, and I've brought duct tape with me every single time, and I've used maybe four strands of it. And this time we actually, I only brought a small piece of duct tape because I've hauled that thing around. And duct tape is really heavy when you've got a full roll of it. And this time I actually needed two rolls of duct tape. Luckily,
I ran out of duct tape.
Yeah, luckily Kelly had some extra and she let me do it. But we actually, what do we have, like 20 or 30 minutes to build our shield? And then they had to check it out to make sure it wouldn't fall apart. And we had to carry, and so what you built, you got to carry. And that was interesting to me because I actually realized that I'm really a slave to making things even. So my bricks are in the center. My handholds were in the center. My handholds were all centered. And if I'd just gotten a little less off of center for my handholds, I probably would have had a better time hauling it around all night long.
Yeah, and that's one of the things you live and learn. I mean, not everyone builds a shield every day, so it's kind of a off thing.
Yeah, and when we were moving around, I remember that Renee was whacking her knees all, like, every single step, wasn't it?
It was. What is it, a 4-foot piece of plywood, and I'm 5'2", so you really didn't have any place to to put that plywood. I only had, 6 inches on the bottom and 6 inches on the top, so, yeah, you'd whack yourself in the knees. I did have a nice bruise on my shin the next day.
I bet.
And I'm glad he only made us take two of those four bricks on our shield, though. That would have been awful to take three.
Wow. It always amazes me sometimes. I try and figure out where do they come up with these ideas? I mean,
I think Adam just has a whole cacophony of things inside his head.
I don't know if I ever want to know what's in Adam's head.
maybe he goes to the library and picks up like old Dungeons and Dragons books or old heavy metal magazines and picks out ideas from those. Like he's rolling over ancient tomes to find ancient knowledge. Definitely what it felt like.
Well, some of the stuff he was saying really sounded like he must have done some research somewhere.
I think it's Janelle. Janelle's like a crazy Viking, so I think that's what it is.
Adam just has one of those really, really creative minds that if you just give him idea, I think he can do 100 things off of it.
He does.
That's why I always tell people, don't give him any ideas.
No.
I remember you saying that. I had heard the other podcast, and I briefly whispered something about spiders, and I hear Renee go, "Don't you dare say that! Don't you dare say that!"
he's fun. But if you say something, he's gonna turn it into something else, and then. But, this was the last one we did where we did an exercise, and I think it was not this year, but last year's Beastbreaker. We did the floor is lava in the playground. That was really fun, and I would say that this shield thing where we're getting to play in the woods with our shields and do stuff was really just up there with being as fun as that part of that event. So he did a good job. It wasn't good, but, I mean, it was tough. But it was a good spot for people to, I think, who hadn't done an event before to join in and do something that was tough, but it was also fun at the same time. I think it'd be good for him to do it again.
Don't give him any ideas.
Well, I think people get scared of these endurance events because they think it's just going to be really, really hard and difficult and maybe not so fun. But most of the time, when they try to do it for the beast, they try to make enough component of it that it's fun, that even though there might be some tough parts, there's a lot of really fun stuff.
Which is good, and I've heard that from other people, too.
Yeah,
that's what I was thinking.
Like
I was I was thinking that going in overnight, coming down from Everett, that it was going to be like a giant supper fest. So I bring like an extra set of clothes, an extra set of socks. I brought extra shoes. I brought like a mini med pack in case I beat the crud out of myself, stuff like that. But it was definitely, it was more fun oriented than it was supper oriented.
And that will be kind of like what Ghost, that'll be what Ghost is like. Except we'll have missions where there'll be certain things that we will have to complete. But it'll be fun while you're completing it. So if you're thinking of doing a longer one, if you put this one and you just more than tripled it, that'll be what Ghost will be.
Okay.
So.
Okay, because you've done a few of them, haven't you, Renee?
Yeah, I did Ghost last year. That was really fun, especially when we got to use rig. What is it? We used chains and pulleys and cables, and we built a bridge last year. That was really fun. And then so it's just doing something together as a team, and it's fun to, I mean, we didn't have a lot of team things, but we did gel as a team. Eventually, we got really good at it. It's just fun to see how you're not a team or a group, and you're not working together, then all of a sudden you are working as a group. It's fun to see that transition.
That is cool.
But I don't know what else to say. I mean, it was a good event. I came away and I was not too tired because it was only 5 hours, and I was able to do stuff the next day. It's not like when you do the 12 or the 14-hour event, you just got to kind of, the next day you're not going to do anything.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. So, Tim, we pretty much heard a lot of what Renee thought, a little of what you thought. What did you think of it, like I said, for your first one? I mean, kind of give some more in-depth kind of the things you remember, the things you learned, I mean, any of that kind of stuff. And are you going to do it again?
Oh, yeah, I'm going to do it again. Of course I'm going to do it again. Like I said, I thought going into it, it was going to be a giant supper fest. And like, I took the night off because I work graveyard, so I started at 8 p.m. We started at 5? I don't know. We started at 7. I was home before midnight. Mm-hmm. And I almost went back to work later, but I was like, yeah, let's hang out and chill. It was less physically intense. Like I said, I thought it was going to be a supper fest, so it was a lot less physically intense. It was still challenging, though, don't get me wrong. But it was more the mental aspect and the learning to work with your team, especially when we're, like, moving down those pathways with the shields on, because when you're holding the shield, he wanted you to be in, like, a shield wall formation while you're moving, for the most part. So you're trying to overlap shields without having any gaps. And I remember, because I'm 5'11", and I'm trying to not smack Renee with my shield while she's smacking herself within the knees with it, and that was very challenging. And then he would have us turn, or like, oh, enemies on the right, enemies on the left. So we would all have to like pivot from one end to the other to try and match up, and then drop down into a shield wall, a stationary shield wall formation. Or he'd say, oh, their archers throwing arrows at you. And myself and I don't remember his name, very tall guy, the other tall guy there, Renee would probably know.
I don't remember his name either. Sorry.
Sorry. We would hop up on top and protect from above. I put James, Renee, and Kelly would drop down into a three-pack on the bottom, and then the other guy and myself would go up on top and put our shields over top to protect and try not to smash their heads or their fingers. I think the big guy got James in the head because he put his brick down low near the end trying to even his weight out on his shield. And he kind of bonked him on the head a little bit. And I remember getting Renee's fingers once. I felt really bad about that, but she bounced back pretty quick.
I do remember that now. Yeah, you didn't hurt me. It was just like, wait a second, I need my fingers back. Yeah, we learned
go ahead.
I was just going to say, we learned really, really quickly that we had to have the tall people on the outside and the short people in the middle.
Yeah.
Because it only took one time where there was a tall person in the middle, and we realized that didn't work at all.
Yeah. Because I don't think Kelly could also see over her shield. She had, like, maybe, like, 2 inches of clearance. She's about the same height. And I remember that while we were moving down the dark, some of our headlights died, like mine died, so I couldn't see where I was going. And we constantly, as a group, had a problem where on these paths that are maybe 15 feet wide, they're mainly gravel, and they go off into the dirt and the grass, that we kept listing to the left. We kept getting the other big guy, he kept getting in the dirt and everything and off the main path, and we kept having to shift right. And we got about 10 times total, but after the second time, we started preventing ourselves from going there. We would realize we're getting off the beaten path, and we would say, hey, shift right or shift left or, you know, whatever, and we would start calling out how many feet we would start shifting over by. So we'd get back centered on the middle path and keep moving on. It was very much tactic oriented. When you think about it, he meant it to be like old school Roman military drills, and it's really what it was like. When you think about like Roman legionaries with their shields and how they would march in formation, like march in a phalanx, and they would do the shield wall and the tetsudo, just like the Vikings would also do. It was really, really fun and challenging, both physically and mentally.
Nice. So what kind of advice would you give to someone who is thinking of doing these?
Bring more duct tape.
Don't trust it because you haven't used duct tape before that you won't need it this time. I got caught this time, luckily. Somebody helped me out. If you can do a boot camp class and maybe some kind of an hour of weight class back to back, you can do one of these 4 to 5 hour events. It's not that big of a stretch from doing something for 2 hours at the gym. People think maybe they haven't done enough and they're not going to be able to complete it, but you may not be happy doing a 12-hour event if you haven't done something that's 3 or 4 hours before outside, but you should be able to, if you've done 2 hours at the gym, be able to handle one of these. Or you could do it like I did the first two, when I did my first 12-hour one, do it by accident. You signed up for something that you thought was only 4 hours, it was going to be 4 hours long, and it ended up you read it wrong and it's 12 hours. That was my fault. But I survived, and I've only ever done like a 4 or 5 hour event before. So if you can do like a beast at the Spartan, you should be able to do one of these 12-hour local events. So it only looks scary.
Yeah. See, my problem is, as I've said in the podcast before, I'm really good at doing things that I don't research for because I'm already there and I'm like, well, I'm here. So I did my first beast because I didn't know research and didn't realize what a beast was. I just knew it was a Spartan. And because that's how I started doing Montana first, the Montana beast. That was brilliant. Oh. But see, now I know about these endurance events and I'm like, I've done my research and now I don't want to do this.
Okay. Well, you want the opposite direction. I want the direction. Oh, now I've done a beast. I'm going to do a 24-hour event. I'm going to have to work up to that.
So I started with a beast. So the
big guy, I remembered his name. His name was Ryan Hettinger. During the warm-up, he briefly mentioned that he had done the Agogi in the past. So, in my mind, I was thinking that he was like, you know, the toughest of the tough, all that. But, you know, he was also still challenged during this event. You could hear him puffing and puffing with the rest of us, just as much as the rest of us. So,
yeah. Ryan's a good guy.
hauling those boards and those bricks around and climbing up and down the stairs is can be quite challenging.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the tower. There was... Yeah. Yeah.
There was like a...
It was almost like a fire watch tower out there in the marshlands of Van Doren's Park. And what was it? It was about 50 feet tall, but we about two or three curls around the tower itself. And they made us drop our shields and run up as a team, run up to the top, count out the first number, go all the way down to the bottom, run back up, count out the second number, and then do it like three, I think we got three times in 2.5 minutes. And then Then they had to do it again during the night, and we had to beat our time. And that was like, what, an hour later after we had already done like 30 to 50 shield burpees. So we were even more tired out, and they made us go up the same thing again and try to beat our first time. And we actually had to do it. We failed the first attempt to beat our first time, so we had to immediately go back and try again. That was pretty challenging, but we beat it by like, we did, instead of three rounds, we did four rounds in the same amount of time, but shaved off about 10 to 15 seconds, so it was challenging. It really was.
Yeah, that's when I'd have to teach someone CPR so they can revive me.
Yeah, the stairs are tough on people, but I actually have grown to like stairs now.
See, I'm a CPR instructor, so I'd pretty much be like, okay, this is what you need to do because I'm about to drop dead. So.
Can I actually
tell you? My girlfriend. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I actually found it was easier when they started to make us carry our shields on our back so that we didn't get hit by archers. That was the easiest way to carry our shields, so I tried to carry my shield as much as I could that way when we were freed up to do that.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah, different terrain caused you to carry your shield in different ways. Each one was a different type of strain on your body. Like you'd either carry it on your arm, you carry it on your back. Sometimes you'd be able to carry it in your hand, like you're carrying a library book almost.
Yeah. I don't know if I can sit there and carry a shield all night. And I've done one of the hurricane heats I did was, we called it the 4-hour bucket brigade.
Oh.
And we carried a bucket the whole time.
Oh, God. That sounds...
That would not be fun.
And it was in Seattle, and it was at April of 2016, I think. And yeah, we had to bring, it wasn't a big full, it was only a 3-gallon bucket, but it's about impossible to find a 3-gallon bucket. But and we filled it with rocks at the very beginning of the 4-hour and then walked around all night with it. And then at one point, it was about 3 hours in, we ended up forming a bucket brigade all the way up that big hill that they ended up closing later on because people were falling down it.
Wow.
And we went up with we did a bucket brigade all the way up with the buckets and had to dump them out at the top. So it was, yeah.
Yeah, that doesn't sound fun.
Yeah, that
the bucket brigade wasn't so bad because it was just you pretty much everyone lined up and we're just handing them up to each other, but carrying them all night was horrible.
I liked Adam's bucket brigade better. We dipped water out of the stream, had to bring it up the hill and paint the road wet. And once we painted the road wet, then we could stop doing the bucket brigade. I liked that. That was fun.
That's weird.
He's got odd ideas in his head.
Paint the road with the road wet?
Yeah.
Paint the road wet. That just sounds... I'm not sure what that sounds like.
Is that like mopping up the rain?
But I can't even make that dirty.
Well, there was a river. There was a river at the bottom, and you had to, in your bucket brigade, you had to put water in your bucket, and you had to haul it up, and then you had to paint the pavement so that it was wet, and you had to do it before it dried. It was during the fall or winter months. I can't remember. One of those, it was cold. So you could do it, but we had to do it fast enough that the top didn't dry before you got to the bottom. That was a fun one.
Okay, that does make more sense. I was trying to figure out. Yeah, I was like,
That was the second half of Beast Breaker. You had the first half, and then you had to come back a month later and do the second half. I didn't even know about obstacle course races in 2016, but Mike, you were doing them way before I even knew they existed.
When did you start doing them?
In 17. I mean, my first climb was in 16. I did Tough Mudder, and then I did the Spartan Beast in 16. But before that, before the beginning of the year of 16, I didn't even have any idea that anything like that existed.
Yeah, see, like I told people, I did my 15 was my first year, and I did the trifecta. And this is where I always confused people, because I did the Beast in Montana in May, which was my first Spartan ever. Because, like I said, I don't do research. So I did. Yeah, I started with the Montana Beast. And not only the Montana Beast, the 2015 Founders Montana Beast. So
I heard that one.
That was good. Yeah. So I got that one, and then I had two free races because I volunteered. And my wife volunteered, so I'm like, well, I'll do Portland, or at that time it was the Northwest Spartan Race or whatever, but Waukegal. So I did that sprint, and then I did the Super in Seattle in October.
Okay. Wow.
Which everyone's always like, October is a beast. I'm like, not in 2015. In 15, it was the Super in October. So that's how I got my first trifecta.
Wow.
What are you doing, Kim? Is that you?
What am I doing?
Yeah, who's moving around?
Not me. I'm sitting.
Yeah, I was walking around. I was getting more coffee.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
That's okay. Nice. So what got you into this? What made you suddenly decide to? Because you said you did a Tough Mudder in 16, and then all of a sudden you're doing Spartan Race. What got you to decide to do this?
Me? In 15, I decided that I wasn't going to be fat anymore. So I went on, and it was just kind of where I'd been doing dance, Zumba and classes and stuff. And then they offered up, somebody decided they were going to do Beachbody, and I joined in. Lost a bunch of weight, and then started to lose the rest of the weight in 15, and got a fitness coach, and he'd done some before. And once I got down to my goal weight, I decided, well, now I need to do something. And somebody called me an athlete, and I figured if I was an athlete, then I'd do something that athletes do. So that's how I got started and I did a Survivor Dash, and I did a triathlon that year, and then I was just hooked.
Yeah.
I mean, it was love at first obstacle.
I know how that is. Yeah, so and then you just kind of loved it and kept doing it? That's the way to do it.
Yeah, I really, really loved it. I mean, I still like it. I mean, some of the Spartan obstacles are really tough because they're really upper body oriented, and they're really oriented for people who are quite a bit taller than I am. So I don't love some of their obstacles so much, but I love being out there on the course for long periods of time. So I really like that.
Yeah, see, that's my thing is they're built for, you know, people with the upper body. I've got the upper body strength for them, but I don't have the height for some of them. So a couple of them, like, there's been times where, like, the monkey bars, I have to jump to get the top one. So,
my wingspan isn't long enough to make it. So unless you can really swing, you're in trouble. So I end up doing burpees, but I can do burpees nowadays.
You got to do, like, some of those. I've seen some of the, and I was trying to remember who it was. It was one of the shorter females who did, like, these weird, like, both-handed, like, jumps almost from bar to bar.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I don't think
have
my shoulders
that?
Could handle that. I have seen people do that, but.
Yeah, and I saw one of the, it was the smaller females because she didn't have the wingspan to do it. So all of a sudden she's just like a flying monkey, like vroom, 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 from one to one. I'm like, how in the, there's no way.
Well, I think I'd probably have to lose another 20 pounds. There wouldn't be anything to be left, but.
Oh, you mean like CrossFit style pull-ups where she's just kipping and she's like using her hip weight. She's kind of thrusting her body to jump to the next ring and the next ring and the next ring all the way. Ah.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, that's rough.
I can't remember who it is, but it's one of the elites that I saw do it. Like the elite women. And she was a shorter one, and I think that's what it was, is because she doesn't have the wingspan
was
to go from one to the other.
Was it Allison Ty? Because she's really
it
short.
It might have been.
She's like 5'1 or 5'2 and maybe weighs 110 pounds on a good day.
Yeah, it was crazy, though. I'm like, how could you? Yeah.
So. Well, I guess that's like a trapeze or uneven bars kind of a idea of doing it. Yeah,
yeah.
I could see how it could work.
I saw one where this woman was going over the rings, and instead of using her hands, she was putting her whole forearm all the way up to her elbow through the rings, and just using her bicep strength to keep her locked in there and going from ring to ring that way. And I saw that on YouTube, and it just clicked in my head, like, you can do that? Like, it never occurred to me that instead of using your hand strength, you could use your bicep strength to get across the bars, the rings. There's plenty of ingenious ways of getting across obstacles like that.
I've seen people do that just to like relax that grip strength. Mainly I've seen that though on like American Ninja Warrior, where you see them when they're on one of those and all of a sudden you'll see one of them like get their arm through and it's like, oh, I never thought of that. But it like that way you're not using all your grip strength. But yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were the Super last year? It was really, the bars were really wet and people were trying to do the monkey bars with their arms crooked around it instead of trying to cross with just their hands. It worked for a few people, but you really had to be strong to do it that way.
I said you have to be really strong and have like really long arm reach. Because even for me, it's a long reach for me to reach the next one a lot of times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
So we kind of got Renee's story on how she got into this. How did you get into this, Tim? What got you into obstacle course racing?
It's actually remarkably similar to Renee's. I was 250 pounds, and I was like, you know what? I want to lose weight, and I want to do something that's really challenging, something that none of my friends do, none of my coworkers do. And it kind of morphed into less of a weight loss journey and more of a I want to challenge myself journey. I lost weight and then I gained it back, but I mean, it's not about the weight anymore. It's about the challenge and, you know, primarily proving it to myself that I can do it, you know. I haven't been doing it for 5 years. It feels like 5 years, but I've been doing it for 3 years. I started in very end of 2014 with my first sprint, and I did that one alone. Now that one definitely kicked my butt. That was the hardest one I had ever done for 4.5 miles. It took me like 5 hours to do. And then I did a couple sprints with teams, and then I think I did the Warrior Dash, and I did a couple very, very small time local like 5Ks and obstacle courses. And then I got back into Spartan, and I did the Mudpocalypse Super that was this last April. And I think I cut down my time. I cut my time down to like almost 4 hours even. And then this past beast, I cut it down to like 4 hours and 30 minutes. But I had primarily been last year trying to focus on running. Like I tried to do the 1,000 miles in a year, you know. Didn't get to it, but it definitely helped tighten up one corner of my training. But, you know, it was primarily about proving it to myself. It's not about weight loss. It's not about, you know, getting out there and exercising. It's about the challenge.
Yeah. You know? And that's, for me, that was one of the big things. A lot of it was deciding that it wasn't about the weight loss. It was more about the challenge. I do need to lose the weight and get healthy. But when you focus on weight so much, it's really easy to get down on yourself. Because you go there,
yeah,
you go
to
get on the scale, and it's like, I did all this work, and I lost a half a pound. Why am I doing this?
Yeah.
But, you know, yeah. But it's a lot easier, and that's when I was doing, when I was doing my weight loss, it was more about size and how I felt. Like, all of a sudden, I'd be like, I lost half a pound, but now my pants won't stay up without a belt. So, obviously, I'm doing something right.
Well, yeah, that's because muscle takes up less space than fat does, so that's what happens there. And I focus on the reason why I keep doing, I mean, I use this for weight loss. I know when my body gets a little heavier because then things start to hurt. So, and I can't function as well out on the course. So it keeps me honest and keeps me trying to stay at the same weight, because it's very, very important for me to function properly to be within a certain weight range.
Yeah. And we start to notice that, and don't be mad at me for saying this, as we get older, because, you know, I'm that way. I'm at that point where I know I have problems, like my foot, my knees, everything else, because I've weighed too much. And I know if I lost the weight, my knees would be 100 times better and everything else. So it's like, yeah, once you get, your body doesn't bounce back as quickly as it did in our 20s. So.
No. No, I actually, after I do these larger, like when I did the Spartan, the 24-hour in Oakland, it took me probably 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks to fully recover. And my body just wanted food left, right, and center. So, yeah, it, as you get older, it takes longer to recover.
So what happens when you get in your 30s, Renee?
Yeah, I wish I was in my 30s. That's very kind of you, but it's, you know, it's kind of fun to be one of these people, a person who can finish these events and finish it in a decent time that's competitive with other people, and be one of the rare. I'm lucky. I have one of the bodies that held up, and I'm an older athlete, and I can go out there and compete with these younger people, and that's sort of fun.
Yeah, see, that's my body would hold up if I wasn't so big. So, and that's my problem right now, is just dropping some of the weight. Not just, you know, and it's not a vanity thing anymore. It's a health thing, you know, just trying to, you know, when you're this size and trying to do things, it doesn't work as well.
Yeah.
But of course,
well,
I don't know when to stop, so I just kind of keep going. Yeah.
And I mean, that took me a long time to get there. I mean, I spent a long time being overweight. So I don't know what snapped, but something did, and here I am.
Yeah, and that's the kind of thing. As you get older, you start realizing you need to change things. I mean, for me, I'm a little over a year and a half without cigarettes, which is awesome.
Congratulations, man.
I smoked for over 20 years. So
that is
that's impressive,
really,
man.
Hard addiction to make that out of, so congratulations.
Yeah. Yeah, because I started smoking when I was 14, so, and I smoked up until, a year and a half ago. So, and that's kind of my thing is, you know, okay, it's like, okay, I quit the smoking, this losing weight should be a lot easier, but it's not. Smoking was easy. I mean, quitting smoking was easy compared to losing weight.
That's because you can quit doing something entirely. You can't quit eating.
Yeah, I tried.
And I feel
it
like that's going to be a very common thing. I feel like that's going to be a common theme with most of the people, especially in obstacle course racing. It's going to be like, you get into it, it's going to be a tough thing you're going to do, and that's going to help you lose weight. And it's going to be a very common theme between most people to do that. But then they realize, not necessarily about losing the weight. Yes, it's about losing weight to get yourself healthy, but a bigger emerging factor in it is, you know, proving it to yourself and being like, I could do this. This is making me stronger, you know, mentally and physically.
And that is so true. And you hear that all the time from people. It's like they get into it for the exercise of it, and then they realize it's more about the mental of making yourself stronger, you know.
Uh-huh.
And you get into the people like me who, I think one of the things, like I said before, I don't like endurance races because I don't mean I don't like them. I just don't do them that often because I feel like every race is an endurance event to me. So I'm a bigger guy. It takes me a while. I mean, Montana in 16 was 13 and a half hours.
Wow.
We were the final group to finish, and I still remember to this day Steve Hammond catching up to us and Stevie turning and looking at him going, you can do whatever you want, but you're not taking us off this mountain. We're finishing this race. And Steve looks at him and goes, he's like, good attitude. Everyone behind you quit. Let's go. And we're like, what?
Wow.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, everyone behind us that was behind us had quit. They're like, we're done. And we're like, no, we're doing this. And he's like, good attitude, let's go. And yeah, it was brutal. But I mean, we finished. And that's what I love about Spartan is that attitude of, this sucks, but I'm just going to keep going because, well, what else am I going to do?
Yeah.
Like, I started this thing. I've got to finish. I mean, I can't stop now. So,
yeah.
The old military monk here of embrace the suck.
Yeah.
It may suck now, but it can make you stronger later. Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty much our motto besides, you know, how deep, it's pretty much embrace the suck. That's like the Beats motto, just go. Embrace the suck. So, perfect. So do you guys have anything else in closing? I mean, we're getting kind of close to the hour mark, and just it's been amazing talking to both of you. But, Renee, you got anything you want to say to listeners in closing?
Yeah, come out and play with us sometime. It's lots of fun, and we'll be in – and we don't leave anybody behind, and we're always very, very, we're always very encouraging, and it's just super fun to do these events. Come out, join us, play. Pick a smaller one, and then try one of the longer ones. You'll have a great time.
Right on. Tim, you got anything you want to say to everyone?
I agree with Renee. It's going to be really, really fun. It's still going to be challenging, but probably not the suffer fest that you think it is, like Spartan and Tough Mudder. But you're still going to be able to prove to yourself that you can do it. But don't make up an excuse at the end and be like, oh, you know, I got to work in the morning, or oh, yada yada, blah blah blah. Just come out and do it. You will thank yourself later.
Perfect. Well, I look forward to seeing you both and eventually meeting you, Tim, and seeing you again, Renee.
Yeah, you're going to be a ghost, right?
Yes, I am. I'm not going to be participating per se, but I will be there.
You're going to be our DJ, our MC, correct?
Something like that. We'll see what happens, but I'll be there. It's going to be – you guys
all
may
right,
not
well,
like me by the end of the
I'll
morning,
meet you then.
The end of the event. All right, perfect.
It's gonna be fun.
I get to play with you guys this time, so yeah,
cool.
You think Adam's brain's messed up? Wait till you see mine. All right, so perfect. Thank you guys for joining me. I look forward to seeing you guys again, and see you later.
Okay, bye.
All right. See you later.
Thanks for listening to the BeastNet podcast, brought to you by Beast OCR. Don't forget to subscribe and let us know what you think and what you'd like to hear. You can find us on Facebook or at beastocr.com.